Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things, we don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also, our website, drjeanettegallagher.com, for more information. We also have a Women Over the Age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves as we are women. We are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today on Sedona Talk Radio and Blog Talk Radio. Today, we are going to be talking about cannabis, hemp, medical marijuana, recreational marijuana, you know, all this controversy we've had out lately. It's been a lot of talk in the West about how Colorado is dealing with this great new boom industry. And is it really a boom industry, or is it a good thing? Is it a not a good thing? A lot of people, you know, if you look on Facebook, they say, oh, we are going to heal everything with this marijuana. We're going to heal everything with hemp. And then we see all of these guidelines from the government that says, no way, Jose, it's not going to happen. You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what you're talking about, and it's not going to happen. Now, there's several different camps about this because today we're going to be talking about hemp, marijuana, the good and the bad, and the absolute great. Because you know what? It is a booming industry. It is going forward, and it definitely does help in many medical conditions. Today, my guest is Chris Boucher, and he is one of the true American pioneers of the modern U.S. hemp industry. He is the founder of the Hemp Industries Association in 1992, co-wrote the first California and Colorado Industrial Hemp Legislation Act of 1995, and also he's the Vice President of Product Development at Cannavest. And he is the top hemp expert in the country. So what better place to go to the person that knows the most about it, and that is exactly what we'll be doing today. Because it's so important to be able to get the correct answers to the questions and be able to understand it and then probe it further. Chris, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, I'm honored to be here, Dr. Gallagher.
So, Chris, you have a really long legacy with this product, and I think, you know, this plant has a long history, too. I'm sure you could share that all with us today. But how about we get started with, can you define the word hemp and marijuana? Because a lot of people are saying, well, you know, is it that plant in the backyard? I'm almost 60. Is it that stuff, you know, that we used to grow in our little pots on our windowsills in the 60s, you know? Or is it something that's totally elusive now that people are saying it has to be regulated and only grown in, you know, these big places that they have government all around them?
Well, you know, you break it down pretty simple. It's all cannabis sativa, hemp, marijuana. It all comes from the cannabis sativa plant. Just like roses, you know, it all comes from the rose plant, whether it's a red rose or yellow rose. And the difference between hemp and marijuana is the psychoactive ingredient, which is the THC. And with hemp, agricultural hemp, they pretty much bred the THC out of the plant. It's 0.3% THC. According to the federal government, the Farm Bill of 2014 distinguishes hemp as being 0.3% THC. And with marijuana, you know, that's the most active ingredient in marijuana is the THC. And now there's a new chemical called the CBD, the cannabidiol. I want to say it's new. It's been in marijuana. It's in hemp. The problem was with marijuana, most of your marijuana growers bred the CBD out of marijuana because it actually brought your high down. They didn't want it in the marijuana. And with hemp, they actually was opposite. They bred the THC out and increased the CBD, which is non-psychoactive, and it has, you know, excellent health benefits.
So let's talk for a second about a plant. So we call it the plant, and the plant's name, and it has a, you know, a plant category. That is what it is. It is a botanical, you know, cannabis sativa. It is a botanical. So many times, you know, people say, well, let's just grow all of these plants in our backyard, and we can get all of those great compounds out of it. We, you know, and sometimes people take the plant and they adulterate it. They really don't know that there are chemically active ingredients in there that you want, but there's also some in there that you don't want, which is exactly this situation. You have the psychoactive part, but you also have the CBD part. And I think that really everybody says, well, oh, well, gosh, there's so much regulation about it now. And so it is. And I think this is probably a perfect example of someone taking a plant and bringing it to market with all of this already defined. You know, so many times people will say, I'm going to go out in the backyard and I'm going to grow so-and-so plant. I'm going to be able to take care of it and do it on my own with no regulation. And then they share it around, and then the talk of the plant gets misconstrued. So I really think here what you're doing is you're really defining it, as you've done in, you know, the history of your work, is define it right up front. What are the constituents? Where do they come from? And what's the good and the other part of it? I think that's really the vitally most important part of the whole situation.
Yes, it is, and that's where legalization and regulation come in. With legalization, you get the regulation, so people that are actually growing it for their consumer or their customers or their patients, they actually know where it's grown. They know what kind of soil it was grown in, and the regulation says, well, how much THC is in there, and it has to have, you know, standard operating procedures. It has to have a certificate of analysis so you know how much THC or CBD you're using. So this really is important to people that really want to get the benefit and they know what they're taking. You know, in the black market, you know, you don't know what you're getting, you know, or the backyard grow. So I think that's one of the benefits of legalization in that sense, is that you do get a standard certificate of analysis on the plant and what's in it and what you're taking and what's happening to your body.
And it's such a vital time right now with all of these supplements and all these other things being pulled off of shelves. I think a lot of research, a lot of money, a lot of legislation has gone into the hemp plant, and be able to say, let's get this straight the first time go around instead of having to come back later. And really, there's very few companies that are even delving into this product because they do want to get it right the first time. So I really think, you know, with a lot of your legislation, they are getting it right the first time.
I agree. And what you're seeing, like in Colorado or California, you're seeing these multi-million dollar industries cropping up, and you're seeing, you know, people that are benefiting from it. You know, you actually see, you know, the scientific data that's out there, the research that from the universities that's available. You know, I always tell people, you know, go check out PubMed.gov, and there's over 2,000 different studies on cannabinoids and cannabidiol. A matter of fact, the U.S. government owns the patent on CBD, cannabidiol, as a neuroprotectant. So it's really amazing what's going on as we're speaking.
Can you talk a little bit about that patent, about that information? Because a lot of our listeners are not familiar with that information.
Yeah, CBD is a cannabidiol, and it's an ingredient that's in cannabis sativa. And like I said earlier, the, you know, it was prevalent in marijuana, and they pretty much bred it out because the CBD actually brings your buzz down, you could say. It actually is non-psychoactive. And what's happened was the Health and Human Services, I think, did some studies, and they realized this is a really important chemical found in this plant. Let's put a patent on it. Why did they put a patent on it? I really couldn't tell you. I'm sure it's for economic reasons and licensing, but they've been able to license out the research for like neuroprotectants, apoptosis, and you know, with neuroprotectants, mm-hmm. considering you know Alzheimer's and you know brain injury, and you know this is so important, you know, as we move forward with you know the baby boomers, 10,000 people retiring a day, they want to be able to pick and choose what kind of medicine they want to use. You know, it's a lifestyle change, and I think that as we move forward, you know, people are really getting the information and they're doing the research and they're making their own decision. It's not a government decision.
And it's very important, too, to note that there's a lot of people out there who have been able to get these products and they are seeing health benefits. Where, you know, right now I'm living in the Deep South. Well, there's no way, Jose, they've already said it here in the legislature. You know, don't even come near us. We don't want to talk about it, you know. But that's the way it is here. But there's also a lot of states like Colorado and California and, you know, those western states where they're a little bit more advanced in their thinking and a little bit more advanced in taking care of their health. So I really think it's important to note here that there's a lot of laws in place, what you can get, and where you can get it. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, you're seeing, like, in the Deep South and in places in the East Coast, you're seeing in Georgia, Alabama, South Carolina, they're passing these laws or they're presenting these laws for the cannabidiol only, hemp with CBD, and they're actually looking at, you know, there are a couple laws that are in place right now, and I don't know if you saw the special on CNN with Dr. Sanjay Gupta, with that little baby, she was having 100 seizures a day, and he gave her some CBD hemp oil, and it reduced her seizures down from like 100 a day maybe to one or two a week. So you're seeing this compassionate, you know, angle to it where whether you're Republican or Democrat, it's actually a compassionate issue, and it's non-psychoactive, so it doesn't, you know, really cross that line into the marijuana sector. And I think that, you know, as the science is becoming more and more available for people to read and, like I said, do their own research and come to their own decision rather than some of this misinformation, or I call it bro science, or, you know, bad science that's been out there. And it's amazing what's going on. But the issue being, you know, we can talk all day about this, but right now, hemp, marijuana, cannabis is all Schedule One. The government doesn't recognize the difference. And what does Schedule 1 mean? That means it has no use, no human use whatsoever, no medical use. And, I mean, Schedule 2, you have cocaine and methamphetamine, which actually has, you know, medical benefits. Mm-hmm. And so we need to remove the hemp, the medical marijuana, from Schedule 1 so universities and researchers can actually freely research this and really put some good data out there so you and I and everyone else can actually, you know, see and know the difference.
And that's important, too, to note that this is a product that has been potentially used already with children. And I caution and choose my words wisely because we all know about the regulation and we don't want to be overstating or understating something that potentially may or may not be true, and we don't want to mislead anyone. But there are many children who have had a lot of good results, and also elders. You know, it's so funny when I look at people over the age of 60, and I think about it, and they sometimes have them on the shows, and they say, well, what is the secret to living longer? They're always like, have a drink a day or do a dance a day. Not one of them is saying that they smoked weed for 10 or 15 years, you know, or that they're still doing it all their life. A lot of those people won't even mention that, when probably, potentially, that may work for a lot of people. So really, there's a whole range here. We're talking about children all the way up to elders who may have a health benefit from this product.
And I agree. And if you see, you know, over the years what's happened, you know, most people, you know, think the only delivery method is smoking. But in actuality, you know, cannabis was the number one prescribed medicine for over 100 years in America. It was in the pharmacopoeia. And they didn't smoke it back then. You either took it orally, topically. And so there's so many benefits of cannabis without smoking it. And I think that, you know, these people that are coming of age, you know, they want to make their own choices and they want to do their own research. And I think that at the end of the day is going to be the final result, is the constituents of these politicians are now, you know, asking them, can you legalize this? Legalize this. I want to use this for my health benefits, but I don't want to go to jail.
Correct. And I think that right there, what you just said, is very important. So many people say, I hear about it. I know it's in the Western states. I know it's really helping a lot of people. I see it all over the internet, except I don't know if it's safe for me to have. I don't know if I can get it safely. And furthermore, I don't know if I should even carry it in my car. Now, those discussions are really on everyone's minds. And even still further, you know, hey, I've got this, you know, salve that I've been using. You know, I bought it on the internet, and can I actually even fly with it in my bags, or am I going to get stopped? A lot of these questions are very important for people because they have this fear of outside regulation, but they really know the benefits. So they're kind of like treading a fine line all the time.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I always do the comparison when people look at, you know, some of these salves or lotions or capsules that are out there with the CBD. There's trace elements of THC in there, but it's so low, it would never pop a drug test. I always like to say there's more opiates in a poppy seed bagel than there is THC in hemp. So, but at the same time, this is new information. So if you're 60 years old and, you know, you're hearing this right now, you're saying, wait a sec, I've had 50 years of negative, bad information, and, you know, I'm going to make a decision on the last 2 years of information that's come out. So you're, you know, you've already made kind of the decision over, you know, 50 years of influence. So I think now that as we move forward, you know, that information is available and people can, you know, really make that choice and research it, because it is available where it wasn't available 10, 20 years ago. It was all negative, bad science, so and bad laws. So we really have to, you know, open that can of worms up.
Let's talk about when we talk about THC, so, and we talk about medical marijuana. Can you differentiate medical marijuana where it is already legal, which, let's use that as an example, Arizona and Colorado as examples. What is the product that they're getting, and potentially the process, you know, from plant to be able to get it to the people?
Yes, what's happening with the legalization, you know, you have the regulations. So these marijuana growers, medical marijuana growers, they have to disclose how it was grown. Did they use chemicals in their soil or pesticides? They have all these tests that are, you know, have to be, you know, put forth on the product. So when the patient or the customer gets it, they know what they're getting. They know where it was grown. They know who grew it. They know exactly how much THC and CBD is in it. And, you know, this is really important because, you know, people are consuming this and they should really have that vital information where, you know, where it's illegal on the black market, you know, none of that's available. You don't know what you're taking. So I think that's one of the benefits. It's a safer, it's more controlled, and you get a better product at the end of the day. And I think that's what we really need to discuss is, you know, is this good for me or is it bad for me? Marijuana is not, you know, good for everyone, you know, just like alcohol is and other drugs. So we really have to test the waters and really see, you know, whether this is going to be beneficial for me or not, you know. Speak to your doctor. Have your doctor do the research. And then again, it's not all about smoking. It's about, you know, oral, you know, applications. It's about topical applications. So there are benefits, and we do know that. And I think the science is leading us down that road, and it's great. But currently, you know, it's like I said, it's still Schedule One, so there's still, you know, a big, you know, chain shackled on this for it to move forward.
So let's talk about when we say medical marijuana, we're talking mostly THC or CBD or a combination of both. And when people say medical marijuana, well, does my doctor give it out or not? I know here in the Deep South, it's all about the physicians didn't know enough about it, and they'll never, ever admit it. But they figured the best thing to do is if you don't know something about it, just say no. So that's what they did. But and then, you know, in Arizona, where I'm licensed as a naturopathic physician, you know, naturopathic physicians do have the benefits to be able to help people be able to obtain the type that they may need. So can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, you know, 5 years ago, the CBD didn't matter. People just wanted to make it more and more potent, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then once the science really hit the internet and, you know, the Health and Human Services patented CBD, everybody said, well, what is this, you know? And they were breeding this out of the marijuana, medical marijuana. Now they're putting it back in and they're doing ratios, you know, two parts THC to one part CBD or 25 parts CBD to one part THC. So we're just starting to, you know, understand the different ratios, what it does to the body. Again, I'm not a doctor. I'm just, you know, speaking about the reports I read and the science that I read. And, you know, considering that if it was removed from Schedule One, you know, you could invest in researchers, pharmaceutical companies, you know, herb companies could actually get involved in it, I think, a lot more and create better strains, better product that deal with certain specific issues. It's just not this one marijuana strain that cures everything, and it doesn't cure anything. It helps alleviate certain conditions. You know, there is no cure-all. And that's what we need to understand. Some of the activists come out and, you know, they make just erroneous statements that I won't even say. But, you know, we do know there are benefits, and we need to continue looking at those benefits and really putting more research into it and more studies. And as we go down that road, we're seeing that more and more universities and researchers, they all want to get involved in this. They all want to do the research because, you know, people are looking for – they're trying to get rid of the opiates in some sense. You know, half of our nation is strung out on these opiates and these pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. That is that more beneficial than medical marijuana? You know, that's for us to decide through science.
And we also see, too, now there is a evolution into street drugs now. Here in the Deep South, street crime is terrible. I mean, it is just so out of control because people have had to have an evolution of, you know, what they could get, and then they changed it so you weren't able to get those drugs as easily. And even if you went to a doctor or a specialist, you couldn't get them. And then they started going to the street drugs, and then street drugs kind of rose in price. So then they started going to the cheaper ones, you know. And we see this in culture, I think, all the time. I mean, if you looked at history in the last 100 years, you would see this evolution, of going through the different types of, quote, pain and different type of medications to be able to alleviate that pain or to cure us. And a lot of times, you know, when, just as you said, you know, what does it really heal or cure? Do things really cure things? I mean, I know myself as being the naturopath, I always say, you know, this will help drain maybe your kidney or help your kidney work a little bit better. And then you would say, oh, all of a sudden I don't have this kidney disease. Well, why? Because maybe you just started to give it some nutrition that would support that, its better function. Or you actually, what we call take out the garbage, you started to eliminate a lot of things in there that got clogged up, and now it works better. Is that really a healing? So really, when you look at this plant, you say it's alleviating or it's supporting or it's nutritive because it is supplying those things that would help the machine, our body, as we would say, it function better.
Yes, and if you look on the internet or you look at the testimonials from people across the board that have used this medicine or used the cannabis herb, you know, the testimonials are just unbelievable at sometimes.
Right.
Are all these people lying, you know, or is there some truth to this? And again, you know, I think that the more people get educated and the more they talk to their doctor and they, you know, communicate about this issue. And at the same time, you know, like you said, the street crime and these statistics that are out there are horrible, what's happening in our society. And we can look at Colorado. I use that as an example because it's like the Peachtree dish here. It's like, you know, the experiment. Uh-huh. Crime rate has gone down. Suicide's gone down. Drunk driving deaths have gone down. Small crime has gone down. Now, is this just a fluke in criminal statistics in Colorado?
Uh-huh.
Or does it have something to do with the legalization? Because people have a choice now rather than, you know, go on the street to get, you know, their drug of choice or just to get something to alleviate their emotional pain or physical pain.
Mm-hmm.
They have a place to go to without creating a crime. So, you know, the jury's out. We still need to look at, you know, another couple years of these statistics, but from what we're seeing now, you know, crime rate has gone down in some areas, and even law enforcement has agreed with that. But it's still, we can't say for sure, but we do know it definitely takes the criminal element out of it. It takes the black market out of it, and it actually puts money back into the economy. I mean, just in Colorado alone, $700 million in annual revenue. I think $88 million of that was tax revenue that went back into addiction, building schools, fixing roads. So there is a benefit. There's still going to be the riffraff that are involved, no matter what business you're in or industry, but it eliminates a lot of that crap that's out there. And I think, you know, we're moving into a more educated, more holistic society as we move forward, especially what these opiates have done to our kids and to our parents. I mean, people, this stuff's 10 times more addictive, you know, opiates than marijuana. I'm not saying marijuana is not addictive, but definitely we know that alcohol, opiates definitely have a much higher addiction, you know, rate than some of these other drugs out there.
And there's so many drugs out there that bring your level of, they may take away your level of pain or discomfort, but they bring up your level of anxiety in the world, or it raises your frequency of your body. You're stressed out more. You might be feeling more. You're active more. You're thinking more. You might be more, look more like the addictive person when, you know, you look at cannabis and you say they're not these off the wire people who are always looking to steal and kill you. You know what I mean? When you look at some drugs, you know, they're way on that other end, and you look at this, it's not really on that end.
I think it's a core function in our body. We have this system in our body called the endocannabinoid system. I don't know if you're familiar with the endocannabinoid system, but it was discovered in 1992. I don't know if you've ever heard of the terminology runner's high.
Mm-hmm.
Well, your body produces a chemical called anandamide, and the only thing in nature that really mimics anandamide is a cannabinoid. And this endocannabinoid system, it regulates your nervous system, your sleep, your appetite. It regulates your serotonin. And so, you know, for instance, cannabidiol is a great research report out on anxiety. Taking CBD and cannabidiol, according to these studies, shows that it actually helps regulate the serotonin, which helps with anxiety, sleep. You know, I always say in the future, if this is true and this science is correct and these cannabinoids actually do, you know, work in the endocannabinoid system, that when you go to your doctor in a couple years, they'll check your blood pressure, they'll check your cholesterol, and they'll check your endocannabinoid system. And this is important science, and I think that, you know, as we go down this road, more and more people are going to know what that means. You know, is my blood cholesterol okay? Is my endocannabinoid system okay? So the science is really incredible that's out there.
Yeah, and it's not turning up your frequency so you feel this inner body agitation, you know, that you're going to, you know, as a lot of the street drugs do, they just want to, you feel like your skin is crawling and you're just going to go crazy, you know. So it's totally on the other side of the world of that. So can you share a little bit, Chris, about what products are available now? So if you are not in a medical marijuana state, what could you get, where could you get it, and how might it help you? Like, in other words, what forms would it be in?
Yeah, well, I can't make any claims on our product. You know, making claims is not a good way to go. But what I can tell you, though, is, you know, the products that are out there that have CBD cannabidiol that are non-psychoactive, you have creams, you have lotions, there's salves, there's capsules, there's actually sprays you can spray in your mouth. You know, people take it as a dietary supplement. You know, you even find cannabidiol in hemp oil. You know, you'll see it in health food stores. It's sold in all 50 states. It's legal because it's non-psychoactive and it doesn't test positive for THC. And, you know, what we do here at Cannavest, you know, we're strictly involved in the agricultural hemp. We grow about 3,000 acres of industrial hemp. I like to say agricultural hemp. The word industrial sounds a little toxic, but that's the way the government looks at it. But that being said, it's legal to grow in other countries, and it's legal to import, but you can't. You can import it here in the United States. Last year alone, just with agricultural hemp products, it was a $580 million industry. You know, you can go to Whole Foods, you can go to your local health food store, and they have, you know, hemp protein powders, hemp milk, you know, hemp seed oil, and now they're starting to carry hemp CBD oil. So you're seeing this industry just blossom, and it's incredible where it's going. And our company, like I said, we're really involved in the agricultural space, and what we want to do is we want to invest here in America, you know, build the factories, build the processing centers, and create jobs in some of these rural communities where agriculture has really taken a big hit.
And when we look at these type products, we say, okay, there's hemp oil in my grocery store, and then you're telling me that there is hemp that I can get on the internet, and it's the price is like, you know, let's spin around the world three or four times, you know, much higher. So what people need to understand is you know, in that hemp oil that you get in the store as, you know, a nutrition supplement, you know, a nutrition you may pour it on your salad or whatever, the amount of something potentially being able to help you there is totally different from something that you're looking at on the internet that might come in capsules or come in some sort of gel factor, correct?
That's correct, but you're starting to see some of the health food stores carry the CBD hemp oil because it's non-psychoactive, and you'll find trace elements of THC, CBD in your hemp seed oil. You know, I always like to say there's more opiates in a poppy seed bagel than there is THC in, you know, hemp products. So there's a famous case called the HIA versus DEA. The DEA tried to outlaw hemp protein powder, hemp granola bars back in 1999. You know, they basically said they reinterpreted the federal law. It's a landmark case. Thank God that the federal judge ruled in favor of the Hemp Industries Association of America, and that's why it's legal today.
Right. So when we talk about salves, we're talking about if you have sore knees, that might be something that potentially help. We may think about something on your skin that might not be healing that well. That may potentially help for that. When you think about something, you may have a sore hip that might help for that. These are typical things that you may be searching on the internet, which might bring you in correlation with cannabis, correct?
Yes, and if you do your research and you look up, like just say for pain, your hip or arthritis, you know, that's inflammation. Mm-hmm. And what I was talking about earlier was the endocannabinoid system. It regulates the inflammation, and that's where, you know, the neurotopical pain, you know, comes in with the cannabidiol. It really, the science that's out there and the research shows that, you know, the CBD actually helps reduce inflammation, and then inflammation, you know, is the cause of many different issues on, you know, piled on top of it. So by reducing that inflammation, you can reduce the pain and you can reduce disease. And so a lot of science is actually going down that road and looking at that, you know, neurotopical issues, and also for oral consumption.
And it's so important, too, to think about if you have a sore knee, do you really want to sit down with a bunch of over-the-counter medications or pharmaceuticals and keep taking them? Because then they are processed through your body. You're clogging up the organ systems of absorption and getting things to work better. And how long does it take to actually get to your knee? So if you're using some kind of salve directly on it, your results can be much quicker. They also can be a little bit long-lasting, and you didn't put your whole entire body, you know, the rest of the 99% of your body, through this altered state that might potentially start end up hurting you later on in life. You know, we look at liver disease, lung disease, kidney disease, all these others, because the body is just overtaxed. I mean, how much stuff can you keep running down that road, and you're going to start getting potholes, you know? So if you can start doing things transdermal through skin, it really is a great first step.
Yeah, there's a lot of companies out there that actually make transdermal CBD patches. There's professional athletes that use them. There's all types of people that actually, like you said, are in pain, that do use the salves, that do use the lotions. And the testimonials out there are just are incredible, like I said earlier, that, you know, are these people telling the truth? And you've got tens
right.
of thousands of people that have used this, you know. And it doesn't work for everybody. It's not the cure-all of everything, but it
mm-hmm.
definitely has a great impact on the majority of the people that do use it. And a lot of people consult with their physician, you know, should I be using this, or is it going
right.
to, you know, mix with my other medication I'm using? So, you know, I always say, you know, consult with your doctor whenever you're using any other type of herbal medicine.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's so vitally important, is do consult with your physician too, because a lot of times you will go to your doctor and you won't tell him what you're taking on the side. And it may be inhibiting some of your lab factors or your medical testing, and the doctor says, I don't know why this is. You need to start taking more of this other drug, or we need to do some other intervention, when really you may have made things better in your body or potentially worse, depending on what you're taking. You know, sometimes we say, you know, your heart rate may seem like it's going up, but then your blood pressure is like maybe changing, and your doctor will say, well, I don't know, just try this. And really, you've been taking care of your body more, so really what you needed sometimes is a reduction in those pharmaceuticals, or you just needed to take a break, or maybe it's not the right pharmaceutical for you at that time. So it's really important that you do share information with your physicians. But I will tell you, sure as I'm sitting here, when you do take this information to your physicians, sometimes they'll look at you like you have 10 eyes. They don't know what you're talking about. And some physicians have even, you know, said, you know, I have no idea about it, and you need to not do it. Because, just as I said in the beginning of this call, when people in places of power are really given something to think about or to vote on or to be able to give their professional opinion on, if they don't know anything about it, rather than admit they don't know anything about it, they're just going to say no. So really do pick and choose your fights. You know what you need to do. You know what will make you feel better and how you can get there. And it's really all about patient empowerment and being able to pay attention to that.
Yeah, I agree. Patient empowerment. And again, like you were saying, you know, never start a dietary supplement regime on your own. Always get your doctor's permission, you know. And you can send your doctor over to, you know, PubMed.gov and show them the studies, the clinical studies and the research that has come out on maybe, let's say, the condition you might have. And that way you get your doctor involved, and he can actually read some of this clinical data and really, you know, educate himself whether he knows it or not at this present time. So, you know, that communication is so important with your doctor, and, you know, that's where we're really trying to educate people to go down that route, you know, whether it's medical marijuana, whether it's with a dietary supplement. You know, it's all about, you know, communication with your doctor and on what products mm-hmm. you're taking.
You know, I know for myself, I've had a few products to be able to work with, and the CBD. And what I have really found is that I would have migraines. I'm almost 60, and I've had migraines since I've been like 8 years old. And I have tried everything under the sun. I mean, being in an alternative health, I've even tried everything under the sun there. But what I've found is that there are migraines, and many people can attest to this, that they will wake you up at 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and it's just like, oh, you know, why am I getting a migraine in the middle of the night when I'm supposed to be, quote, resting and my body's supposed to be quieting down? And what I really found is that it was very significant if you did it for a period of time in reducing that incidence of those nighttime migraines. And, you know, and I don't do it all the time, but I did it for like a week or two, and I took a break from it 3-4 weeks. And in that 3-4 weeks break, I still did not have what I would say a symptom of that nighttime migraine. So in other words, it has long-lasting effects. Whatever might have been putting you in that situation, if it's able to ease that away or off of your body, then your body is just better going forward. Just as I've said in the beginning of the call, you know, you kind of take out the garbage, you get things to work better, then you don't have this need for it all the time. So really, is this something that you're going to take from today? And once you start on it, you'll never, ever give it up till the day you die. Just like, you know, people that have high blood pressure medication, you know, the day the doctor hands you that first prescription is kind of, you need to say, hey, I'm 35 years old, my blood pressure is high, you're handing me this prescription, and you think it's only for a week or two, or only till the month is up, or only for 6 months. Really, once they hand it to you, you're pretty much on that pony, honey, until you figure out how to get off of it. And a lot of people don't figure out how to get off of it. The mountain just gets higher and higher for them to climb. So really with this, though, it's totally a different concept, because what you're doing is you're actually getting your body to be able to relieve that tension, relieve that stress, help something that was maybe bound up in your body or tightened, and let it relieve itself. And then it's, you know, you're good to go for a little bit longer. So I really think that's a great benefit of this.
Yeah, you know, your CBD oil, it's a lipid, it's an oil, so it stores in your fatty tissue. So like you were saying, you know, you might take it for a couple of days and, you know, take it for a week, and it's stored up in your fat tissue, so it stays there, it's natural, you know, where a pharmaceutical just goes right down, I guess, into your liver, and, you know, it's in and out. And I think, you know, some pharmaceuticals do stay in your body over time, and they build up. And sometimes we don't even know that. I mean, I had somebody that was on some pharmaceuticals, and they were, I guess, overdosing on them. And the doctor came in and said, well, you've been taking this for the last 8 years, and what's happened is it's built up in your body, and now it's having a really negative effect. It almost killed them, you know.
Right.
I won't say what, you know, prescription it was, but it was just a pharmaceutical. And they didn't realize that after, you know, so many years of taking it, it built up, and they think you're going to they took him off of it for a while, and now he's doing a lot better. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we really have to really listen to our body and, you know, see what rings the best.
Can you tell us a little bit about the products that CannaVest has?
Yeah, CannaVest, we do a whole variety of products. We have a whole body care of infused CBD. We have, like, salves. We have lotions, creams. We even do a hemp shampoo and a hemp conditioner for your scalp. We also have CBD capsules. They're like 25 milligrams each, and they're all natural, non-GMO, gluten-free. We make everything in a what do they call it? A natural way of doing things. It's generally good practice, you know, in the way we manufacturing. And so we also do a whole line of oils, just straight oils that you can spray into your mouth, under your tongue. We believe that that's the best way to go. We do transdermal stuff, and it's just a variety of products for different, you know, people like to use it in a different way, you know, without making any claims or anything. It's a tightrope here as I'm stumbling my words, but you can go on and you can go to our website and look at the products we have, research them, and determine for yourself whether they're beneficial or not. And I think that's, at the end of the day, that we really need to get down to is, you know, do I need to take the capsules, do I need to take the spray, or do I just want to use the topical creams?
And they have varying degrees of CBD?
Excuse me?
And each product has varying degrees of CBD in them?
Yes, each product has different milligram-infused amounts of CBD. Like I said, our capsules have 25 milligrams each. We have two different kinds of sprays that are we like to tell people to do it under your tongue for sublingual. The tissue underneath your tongue absorbs a lot better and it gets into your bloodstream better than swallowing, because your stomach can digest it and you won't get all the benefits by just swallowing it. So our sprays come in 100 milligram and 500 milligram, and each spray contains about maybe 1 to 2 milligrams, so people can do small doses, whether they try it at night for sleep or they just try it in the day for certain other ailments. But we have a variety of products, and we actually sell to many, many different companies because we're like in the supply chain. We actually grow it, we manufacture it, and we help other companies develop their products with their own labels. So it's quite a huge business as we're expanding and as we're moving along. And there's so many different people that are now, or different companies that are coming into the space, especially from the dietary supplement industry, the natural products industry. You know, it's incredible where it's going.
It really seems to be this topic that a lot of people have a lot of confusion around. However, it really is a growing industry, and I think a lot of people are having the discussions, but their conversation kind of gets misconstrued. So I really think today we spoke around the whole circle and have answered a lot of people's questions.
Well, I really appreciate you putting me on your show and just really trying to explain just, you know, an overall view of, you know, what CBD, cannabidiol, what THC is, medical marijuana, you know, what the differences are, the legalization. I mean, there's so many different topics that this covers that I think that what you're doing is really educating the people out there to get them
right.
to go online and do their research. And at the same time, we're actually giving away complimentary CBD. I don't know if I can give out my 800 number. People can call if they said they were
sure,
on your
you
show.
Can.
We'll give them $50 worth of free product. It's 855-758-7223. I'll repeat it one more time, 855-758-7223. And we'll answer any questions you have, and we'll send you complimentary CBD oils and creams and salves.
Well, that'd be absolutely wonderful, Chris. I think a lot of people are saying, I don't really know what it's about, but I really, at this point, you know, my pharmaceutical case, you know, is in a big baggie in my purse, and it's not really the best thing. Or I'm really just looking because I have a sore knee, and that's really all I need. And I think that's important for a lot of people to have some alternatives to say, let's get started, let's look at something different, but let's try it out slowly. And I really think by it being, you know, in the salve form or transdermal, or sublingual, you know, all of these different ways you can take it, you can really titrate it yourself to say, I can start out with a teeny tiny drop, right, to see if it does anything or it hurts me, and we all know it doesn't, but once you feel that sense of confidence, you're able to take it and experiment more with it, and I really think that's the best way to do it, don't you think?
Yes, I do. Yeah, that's exactly what we tell people, exactly what you're saying is, you know, try it out. You know, try a little bit at a time. See what it does to your body. See how you feel. You know, does it help mm-hmm. diminish any, you know, ailment you have? And
right.
then, you know, one day at a time. And I think that's the topic of, you know, getting involved in this and trying it out and then doing the research and just investigation and speaking with your practitioner and really discussing it with your family and looking at the real science, looking at what is available out there that can really make you, you know, make a good decision on what's best for you.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today here on the radio because I think that answers a lot of questions. And perhaps maybe as the industry expands, you can come back on again in the fall.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you so much, Dr. Gallagher.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
If you'd like to find out more information about Cannavest, the link is on the bottom of today's show page. Please do click on there, and as Chris said, please check out for his free offer. You just replay this a little bit behind this archive link, and he did give out that telephone number. It is really something great to get a start with and say, oh, I'm not so much afraid of that anymore. Oh, it's not going to be this weed head, you know, like those hippies down the street. You know, it's really just something that says, you know, I'm just not feeling that great. Something's bothering me. Maybe it's another alternative. Hey, I'm good to go. So thank you so much for joining us today on this really informative talk we had on cannabis. And I really hope you're able to check out cannavest.com. That is the website. It is on today's show page. And have an absolutely wonderful day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeanettegallagher.com You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.